Well, you will know that we're going through a series of looking at the attributes of God. What the Bible tells us God is like. What God's character is. Who he is. And we've been doing it for, say, 6 months now. And we're nearing the end of that series, I think, Dave. But this morning we're looking at God is light. God is light. It fits with Tony's children's talk. Hopefully you've seen that theme in the hymns that we've sung. John writes in verse 5 of the passage that we read earlier, in 1 John 1. This is the message we've heard from him, from God, and declare to you. John didn't make up the message. The church here hasn't made up the message. This is the message that we heard from God. And so, John's summary, if you like, of the message he had from God. The summary of the gospel, the summary of the good news. John's summary as he heard it from God himself is this. God is light. There's no darkness in him. We're to walk in fellowship with him. Walk in the light. And Jesus' blood has cleansed us from all sin. That's John's summary then of God's message. So when God describes himself as light, when God chooses that the message he gives to John is God is light, if God describes himself as light, well, he must have a purpose for that. He hasn't done this randomly. If God describes himself as light, it's because by that statement he intends that we would better understand him, that we would know more of him. So what does light do? What are characteristics of light? As we're going to think about that this morning, then we're going to look at these characteristics. So the first thing to say is that light reveals, light shows things. Right back in the very beginning, opening of the Bible. Start at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. Creation tells us about God. We know that in creation we discover God has revealed something of himself. So what's the first aspect of God's character that is portrayed for us, that is displayed for us in his creation? It's light. It is the earliest expression of his nature. It's the earliest expression of the will of the Creator. The creation reveals what he's like. His word is what makes it happen. It executes his will. It executes his purpose, if you like. It does it. The God who creates begins with light. It is the primary expression. It is the first revelation of his eternal being. You don't have to go, just turn to the next book in the Bible, go to the beginning of Exodus. And you remember God's people, they're living as slaves. They're in Egypt, and Moses goes to Pharaoh. Goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And you remember Pharaoh's response is that he won't. And God sends plagues, judgments on Egypt. Signs that he is working, that he is active, that he is powerful. Signs that he loves his people and he is angry with the Egyptians. And you remember the plague of darkness. God says to Moses, stretch out your hand towards the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt. Darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand towards the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anywhere else or leave a place for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Light then, it's the sign, the symbol of God's presence and of his favour. Darkness is then the sign of that favour, that favour withdrawn. Darkness is a sign of rebellion, of chaos, of evil, of sin. God reveals himself then in the creation of light. What else does light do? It reveals things. But it also guides. Here in 1 John, we are told to walk in the light. The psalmist says that your word is a lamp to my feet. And have you ever been walking in the countryside in the dark? Maybe you've gone down into the cellar of a building and the lights aren't working. Well, dangerous business, isn't it? You're walking along, you're stumbling over things. You're groping, you're finding your way with your hands because you can't see. Light is a guide to us. You need a torch, you need a lamp. God's word is that lamp. God himself is that light. When God rescued his people from Egypt, when they came out and they're leaving Egypt, they're moving together as a nation through the wilderness, we're told the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. So in the daytime, he's this pillar of cloud leading before them. By night, it's a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. Walk in the light. You can't travel without light. Light shows the safe route. Light lets you know if you're wandering off course. Light shows the obstructions that are in your way. Security comes from walking in that light. And light, again, the sign of God's presence, the sign of his favour. You remember after the Israelites left Egypt, the Egyptians changed their mind, if you like, and chased after them with their chariots. And as they come near to the Israelites have got their back up against the sea, they can't go anywhere. And then God's pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them, you remember. It came between the Israelites and the Egyptians. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side, to the Egyptians, and light to the other side. God's favour, God's presence in the light. The dark, the sign of his favour withdrawn, of his anger, of his judgment. The dark is scary. You go outside on a dark night. Maybe you go, it's not so bad around town, you've got street lights and so on, but you go off in the country, you go walk into the trees, you walk through the forest. You hear the sounds and there's animals hooting and scuffling and whatever they're doing, and something brushes past you and you don't know what it is. And the dark's scary. But light dispels fear. You remember those words that Dave read at the beginning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Light dispels fear. David goes on to speak of his hope, of his joy in this psalm. So the light reveals, the light guides and comforts. But the light is glorious. You know, it's like on a sunny day. I know we're heading to autumn now and you've kind of forgotten about them, but you remember the sun. And on a bright day, well, you can't look at it. It's too much. It's overwhelming. When God's presence, God as light, is overwhelming. It's too much. His presence with his people is glorious. There is something about that light that becomes unbearable, that is beyond what we can cope with. You remember when the temple was built, back in the Old Testament, Solomon's temple was built. And the priests and the worshippers, they had to stay outside because God came and filled it with his glory. It was unbearable. It was too much for them. God's glory is often described as light. It shines, it radiates. And it's unbearable. We can't cope with it. We're not fit to cope with it. Because as well as being glorious, light is God's light is pure. We're told God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. The idea here is pointing to his purity. God is morally pure. There's nothing evil, nothing impure about him. He cannot abide any hint of evil. So no one that has ever been untruthful, no one that has ever been jealous, no one that's ever stolen, no one that's ever been angry without good cause, no one that's ever hated, no one that's ever lusted, no one that's ever lied, can come near to him. He cannot abide sin. He is light. There's no darkness at all in him. He is what we call holy. In other words, he's separate, he's distinct, he's different from everything else. And one of the reasons that he's distinct and he's different is because he is so pure compared to our impurity. God, we are told, dwells in unapproachable light. You can't get near him. You cannot come close because you're not worthy. Imagine you had a rocket and you decided just on a whim you would fly to the sun. What's it like? It'd be great. You're flying to the sun. But you know what would happen? Before you even got close to it, you would be consumed. You would be burnt up. You would be obliterated. You cannot get close to it. God is described as dwelling in unapproachable light. He is so holy. He is so pure. He cannot abide the stench of your life. And you cannot get close to him. Yes, light is a comfort. Yes, it's a guide. It reveals God to us. But in him it's glorious and it's pure. And light penetrates. Maybe you've been unwell, or maybe you've been on a flight for whatever reason you've not slept in the night time. Maybe you've been working shifts and you now need to just go to sleep and it's the middle of the day. And you know what it's like. You pull down the blinds and you close the curtain and you lie down in your bed, but it's still light. And you think, well, maybe if I close the curtains in the hall and shut the door, that'll shut out some of the light. And that's not enough because there's still that crack underneath. So you take a towel and you put it there and you roll it up. But it's still not enough. And you put a blanket over the top of the curtain rail. You pull the doobie over your head. Whatever it is, it's not enough. The light penetrates the darkness. The light penetrates the darkness and it reveals what is hidden. If for some reason you need to go into the boys' room in the middle of the night, I don't turn the lights on. The last thing I want is a small child awake. So I sneak in carefully, quietly in the darkness. But I don't do it very quietly because I'm falling over the Lego or the trains or whatever it is. I don't see them because it's dark, because it's the night. Now I go in the morning and they're not a problem to me. The light that penetrates, the light that you can't stop getting in, reveals what is there. God's light reveals our condition. This time of year at work, every evening we do activities with the children, and that's fine in June because it's in the daylight. But this time of year, it's dark. And maybe we take them out for a walk. And again, you've got that thing of it being scary and it being uncertain and unknown. But the problem is that you wander into things you don't expect. And children particularly wander into things they don't expect. And they find every little boggy patch, every little damp piece of ground or stream or whatever it is. And you've been out walking and it's black and it's dark and you can't see. But as we get back to the centre, as we walk up the drive, as we come nearer to the buildings, as the floodlights are there on the grounds, as they get closer and closer to the building, you begin to see the state that they're in. You see that their wellies are full of mud, or they've lost them. You see that their trousers are black. You see that they're covered in scratches. You see that there's mud all over their face. You couldn't see it when you were off in the woods. You couldn't see it when you were off away from the light. But as you get nearer and nearer and nearer, you discover how truly filthy they are. And God's light does the same with our condition. You have a conscience. God has put inside of you a witness of what is good and what is true and of what isn't. But you will know that you can quickly squash your conscience. You can learn to silence it. But God is light. God's word is a lamp. As we come nearer to God, as you begin to read the Bible, as you begin to let your conscience be softened, as you begin to pray and turn to Him and seek Him, the closer you come to that light, you discover bit by bit how filthy you are. And then you thought you were okay, and you thought that, you know, a quick white bowl with a damp flannel would fix it. But as you get nearer and nearer, as you approach the light, you discover the extent of your filth. God is light. And that reveals our dirt, our filth, our sin. But the command is this: walk in the light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, walking in the light shows our sin. And that's not a comfortable experience. The nearer you come to light, the more conscious of your own dirt you will be. And you think, well, that could be devastating. You see, if we truly understood, if we truly grasped how pure, how unspeakably clean and pure He is, and how foul we are, well, we'd be crushed. If that's all God's light did, was reveal how glorious He is and how dreadful we are, that is hopeless. But gloriously, a light becomes incarnate. God is light. Jesus is God. This is 1 John, the letter written by John. He wrote a gospel. It begins like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word is Jesus. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. That includes the light we talked about earlier. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is God. In Him was life, and that light, was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Jesus describes Himself as being the light of the world. I am the light of the world, He says. How was Jesus' birth announced? Do you remember? There were angels. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, we're told the glory of the Lord shone around them. There is that lightness, that glory. But the glory, the light is hidden. Jesus looked just like you look. There was no mysterious glow coming out of Him. There was no halo. He goes out in the middle of the night, He can't see any more than you can. The glory, the light is masked. But there is a point in His life when it's revealed. It's called the Transfiguration. He's revealed. He's shown. Then we're told there, He on top of the mountain, He was transfigured before them. Read the account, it was probably in the evening, probably in the night. His face, we're told, shone like the sun. The glory of the light is revealed. His clothes became as white as the light. For that moment, His glory was seen. God is light. Jesus is God. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And He says this, whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But walking in the light, following Him, we're exposed to that piercing ray. That shows our guilt, that shows our filth. You see, the shame of being in the light is unbearable. Shame of being in the light is unbearable unless we are made clean. And something remarkable happens. You remember that light is a sign of God's presence and favour. His darkness is that favour withdrawn. Jesus, God, is crucified. He's nailed to a cross. He's killed. One hymn writer says it's mystery all. The immortal dies. And then on the cross, we're told from the sixth hour, from midday, until the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. It's the middle of the day, it should be light. It's dark. You see, as Jesus dies on the cross, the light disappears. God's favour is withdrawn. Jesus, who is the light of the world, experiences darkness. Why? Because He has taken our sin on Himself. That filth, that impurity, that dirt is piled on Him. God removes His favour. God turns His back on Jesus on the cross. Turns His face away. Why? Why is this happening? It is happening so that we can be made clean. We can be pure. So that we can walk in the light. That we can stand there in that light and not feel ashamed. Why? Look at what we read earlier. The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Our sin, the stain, the dirt is cleansed. And because sin is dealt with, we can walk in the light. And that light then works its way into us. If you're a Christian, if you are following Jesus, if you are walking in that light, the light is continuing to penetrate into you. You will know this. You will know that as you walk in the light, as you go on in your Christian life, if you're not a Christian, you might think, well, you know, if I become a Christian, I'll be clean and pure and everything will be dealt with and done. No. No, I'm sorry to disappoint you. No. What the Bible says, what the experience of Christians is this, that as you walk in the light, you become more and more conscious of your sin. But as you go on, it shines even more brightly within you. And that we're exposing more darkness within ourselves. And we're called again and again to come for still more cleansing in Jesus' blood. This is not kind of went off and dealt with. Yes, Jesus' sacrifice is once and for all. Jesus will never be sacrificed again. But his blood is continually applied again and again to carry on purifying you from your sin. If you're a Christian, you will find the searchlight of God's truth continually exposing parts of your life that need to be confessed as sin. Parts of your life that need to be left behind. That is the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit at work. That is the action of his word. Walking in the light means living day by day with the God who is light. And so the nearer you come to God, the more conscious you are of your own sin. The more conscious you are of your own rebellion. Remember the Apostle Paul. Quite like to be the Apostle, like the Apostle Paul, wouldn't you? Describes himself as being the chief of sinners. The nearer you become to God, the more conscious you are of your own sin. But that sin is dealt with. The blood of Jesus Christ purifies us. Again and again and again cleanses us from our sin. So this glorious, this pure, this penetrating light that is made incarnate. Well, light reflects, light bounces off things. If you go out on a moonlit night, it's clear, there's no clouds, but there's a big moon. You will have experienced that. The moon casting a shadow, your shadow on the floor. The moon being kind of bright enough to almost read with. But you'll know that the moon doesn't have any light of its own. The light, the moon doesn't glow. It's a big grey rock. What the moon does is it reflects the light of the sun. The light of the sun bounces off it. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But he also says, you are the light of the world. We're in the light. We're walking in God's light. Then we are reflecting, if you like, his light. You are the light of the world. No, we're not, Christian. You are not being good because you want to win God's favour. You're not being good because you think it will make things right with him. But there is a purity, there is a cleanness, there is a lightness that comes from being, that is the reflection that comes from being in the light. This should be something distinctive. This should be something light's bringing about Christians. And maybe you say to yourself, well, I've believed in God, I'm trusting in Jesus, I'm following Jesus, I'm in fellowship with God. Really, I could do without the rest of the Christians. I could do without the other believers. I could do without the church. There's a book published a couple of years ago now called Love Jesus, Hate Church. And I trust you're not thinking that because you're here this morning. But if you are tempted to get into that line of thinking, if you are thinking, I want fellowship with God, but I'm not interested in the rest of his people, Look at what verse 7 says to you. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Being in the light is where the rest of his people are. We have fellowship with him and fellowship with them when we walk in the light. And you see, Christians who live in God's light, they don't find it difficult to walk together in fellowship. You see, the light shows them the way ahead. The light coordinates them, if you like. The light allows them to move forward in harmony. Where Christians suffer a division and separation, it's by definition because they are not walking together in the light. Now, it doesn't mean that we're all going to agree about everything. But that's not what fellowship is about anyway. The fellowship, the loving of one another, the valuing of one another, the binding ourselves to each other. Agreeing to differ, recognizing that we will differ, but without severing those ties that bind us together. Walking together in that light. Coming nearer and nearer to him at the source of that light. Being able to stand in that light because we are cleansed. Last thing to say about light. But it's infinite. It doesn't end. God's light is never going to come to an end. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He is going to physically, visibly return. You will see him as really physically as you can see me. And everything is going to be made new. But in this new creation, there is a glorious constant. God is light. The writer of this letter, John, who wrote the Gospel of John and described the beginning where the Word was there creating, making everything. He's also the same man who wrote the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Listen to how he describes God's new creation. There will be no more night. This isn't a kind of astronomical statement, okay? This isn't saying that in the new heavens and the new earth, there won't be a sequence of night and day. Any more than when he says there won't be any more sea, that's not a hydrological statement, if you like. He's not saying, literally, there'll be no sea. He's saying, as a theological statement, there'll be no more chaos. Here he's saying there'll be no more night, there'll be no darkness, there'll be no withdrawal of his favour. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of a sun. Why? What is it about God's presence in heaven? Why won't they need a light? The Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. There will be nothing to hinder you from enjoying his light. There will be nothing to stop you standing in the presence of that light. Now, if you stood in it, you come close to it, you shrivel up, conscious of your own guilt and your own sin. There, you will enjoy it forever, with nothing to come in between. God is light. His light reveals our darkness, our sin. If we stand in that light, we're conscious of our guilt. Conscious of the dirt, the filth within us. But praise God, because the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin.